Fantastic. Yeah, there's a real... How many sense there's a prophetic anointing here at the moment? Come on.
Yes.
You know, one of the things is this, is that what we don't realize is that every time you open your mouth, you're prophesying. We sometimes think that whatever reality you feel, you speak. So today, things are going to change because we're going to start talking different. We're going to start believing different. 2019 is saying hello to us, and it's opened its doors up and saying, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? And so what we want to do is, if we realize right now we're in a prophetic moment, and I believe I have a prophetic word for you this morning, but what we need to do is to come into agreement and go, okay, God, we realize that this time is so amazing. Why don't you just lift up your hands? Father, I just thank you that right now we are in a good season. Father, we're in a brilliant season. Father, this time is selected for you. Father, we are in the right time. So Father, I just pray, as we already sang that, prophesy. Father, God, right now we say to 2019, you will be good to us. 2019, you will give us opportunities. 2019, there will be things that we would never seen. Seeds that we have sown are now going to go. We are going to be surprised by the voice of God. We are going to be surprised by the miracles of God. We are going to be surprised by the provision of God. We are going to be surprised by the favor of God. We are going to be surprised how relaxed we are and how fast we're moving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, worship team. How good are you? Come on, how good are you? You are very, very good. As we are preparing for 2019, I want to talk to you today is to reset your vision. Now, when I start talking about vision, is I'm not saying that you have a goal and you bring it to Jesus and you go, oh, okay, Jesus, I want you to bless this. To reset your vision is how you look at the situation, how you look at your life, how you look at your circumstances, how you look at your finance, how you look at your health, how you look at your family. To reset your vision is that God has put in certain things in the Bible to reset how we should be seeing. So I can't, isn't it amazing? Just is how people see things. Somebody looks at a verse and jumps out, goes, yes! Another person looks at a verse and goes, oh, I don't know, that's for me. It's how you perceive, it's how you believe and how you act. So one of the things that I want to show you, that's an amazing Bible concept, but it's a way to see, every time God does a miracle, He adjusts your reality. So every time there is a miracle, God is adjusting reality. What is reality? Reality is, I might be feeling sick. And then all of a sudden during worship, I get a revelation that He is my healer. All of a sudden, I am not looking at a sick body. I am seeing a healthy body. At that moment, my faith has been readjusted to a new reality. So that's why the Bible says you go from heaven to earth. So you get heaven's reality, which is the real reality, and it comes into the earthly reality. So every miracle is a time where you sit with Jesus and you go, what have you just said? See, what's really interesting in life, right? You can be an observer of miracles, or you can be a learner from miracles. So every time now I see a miracle, I ask myself, what's Jesus trying to teach me? See, or otherwise, we become a participating church. In other words, there's a miracle, everybody claps. So now, when a miracle happens, we go, God, what are you trying to teach us? What are you doing? I want to just show you this. This is I want you to click to open to Deuteronomy chapter 6. What is amazing about the book of Deuteronomy, it is talking to a people that are going to go into the promised land and possess it. So the book of Deuteronomy is one of the most favorite books in the Jewish culture, in the Hebrew culture.
It is one of those books that if you wanted to be a rabbi, that you would have to memorize. And the book of Deuteronomy is a preparation book on how you are to look at the promised land. So what you have is the people, and you're going to find out today why the first, everybody over the age of 20 didn't make it. So what you do is you have Moses teaching the people how to possess and how to live. I want you to notice something in the Bible. It's possession and living, not just possessing and trying to keep it. You got to say amen. Do something. Because the Word of God says this. Some people possess a house, but then spend all of their lives trying to keep the house, correct? You possess a job, and then you've got to work overtime. You sacrifice your family, sacrifice your health, trying to keep the job. That is what's in the world. The world goes, man, you know what? Come on, you can do this. You can buy this. You know, increase your mortgage, increase this, and you get it. And you possess your house, but then you're trying to keep it. The Word of God, when you look at Deuteronomy, says, I am going to teach you how to possess and how to live. It's one thing getting married. It's another thing enjoying marriage. One thing having children and then enjoying children. I've met people that have kids and they go, what's the worst thing that happened to you? I got pregnant. What happened then? I got a baby. Ruined the whole life. I go, what's something? Come on, there's got to be something wrong there, right? Because God says, I give the children as a blessing. So in other words, God gives you a child and the child becomes a blessing instead of, oh no. You know, it's another thing. You know, you possess you possess an opportunity, but then you can start to live. That is why when God gives you an opportunity, you don't have to sacrifice your family. I'm preaching really well. Now, listen, this will start to make sense to you. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 says this, and these words which I command you today, you shall be in your heart. I want you to notice in verse 6, it says, what I'm teaching you is not outside, but it has to come in your heart. Not into your mind, but just in your heart. You will teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and it shall be of the frontals between your eyes, which is in your mind, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. I want you to notice something. He's saying, get the word, and I want you to put it in your heart, and then I want you to talk about them. I want you to write them down. I want you to talk about what I've done is before you go to bed, so that you dream about what you've done. You get up, instead of saying, good morning, gorgeous, hey, what did God speak to you today? Can I let you a secret into our bedroom? Silva's now going, you know, one of the things that we talk about just about every morning is I go, Silva, have you had any downloads? To me, that's the favorite part of my day. It's even better than coffee. I don't know how that's possible, but it's a miracle. See, the reason being, the Word of God says this, is that I want you to put them in your heart. I want you to write that down. Now, here's just to help you something. If you want to memorize something, best thing to do is to speak it and write it. When you do that, your memory power goes up. So write them down, talk about them, you know, sing about them, do everything. And I used to wonder, what, you know, when you're singing, God's making this and he says, why do you want you to do it? See, I want you to what happens is this. Understand, this is written to a generation that some of them haven't seen the miracles. So what was happening? So when you have a look at what Jesus did, he goes through a bunch of slaves, between 2.5 to 3 million people that have lived without miracles. You got to to see how the gospel unfolds. So Jesus doesn't come to 2,500 people that have experienced miracles. They don't understand worship. They don't read because there is no scripture. There is nothing to be passed down. All there is small little fragments. Abraham, someone promised Abraham, there's Isaac and Jacob, and I don't know. That's 400 years we've been in this place. So what happens is this. You've got 2.5 million to 3 million people that are used to no miraculous. Now, what happens when there is no miraculous? You have got an instinct from God is to survive. So what you do, you develop a survival mentality. That means if it's up to me, I got to do it. Let me just give you something to hear. All the promises of God are not equal to your ability. God will never give you a promise if you can do it without Him. If you've got $10 and something that you want to buy for $10, you don't need God. You don't go, God, I've got $10 and I'm going to buy something worth $10. When you've got $10 and something you want is $100, then you go, God, I need you. I either need a 90% discount. See, what happens is this. And understand this. All the promises of God are not equal to your ability. Because what happens is this, is if you get a promise without the miraculous, you think, I don't need a miraculous intervention to get the promise. What happens with a promise? You know when it's a promise of God is because you've got to cling to Him. So when God gives you a promise, you go, it's beyond my pay grade, beyond my IQ grade, beyond my influence grade, beyond my favor grade. God says, now you've got to stretch out. So it comes to a people that are used to non-miracles. Now that is a good place to be. God is attracted to people that have not experienced miracles. Listen carefully. I'm so excited. Any part of your life that you haven't seen a miracle is standing out to Jesus right now. Any part. Well, you know what? I never had a vision from God. God's going, check that out. You know, it's like when you've got a huge pimple. You're walking down the street and everybody notices it. You're walking down the street, people pulling over and going, excuse me, can I have a selfie? I have never seen such a huge pimple. See, one of the things that I always... See, God is attracted to my weakness. God is attracted to all my imperfections. God's attracted to it. Because God says this, the reason I am attracted, you haven't seen the miraculous in this department. So what I want to do, I want to take you. So any part of your life, physically, emotionally, financially, friendships, promotions, all of those, if you have not had the supernatural intervention, God says, what that is a bullseye for God. Now, let me just, so you understand, the Bible says you are to read about it, talk about it. But to understand this, we need to get out of Western philosophy. Western philosophy started with the birth of the Greco region, or the Greco, movement, which was the Greeks. And then you had Plato, you had all of those. That Greco element has always been this. It talks about the reason. The highest part was man's thinking. Next thing was the body. That is why we are so influenced with a body image, but that comes from a philosophy, doesn't come from Hollywood. You have a look at it. The best sculptures in the world were Greeks. The reason being is because of their philosophy. Their philosophy was reasoning. Their philosophy was, let's have a debate. How much do you know? Can you how many languages can you speak? It's about the age of reason. So you got the age of reason come in, and he goes, if I can understand it, if I can understand the meaning of the word. And then with the Greeks and all that, they love the pronunciation. To them, to give you an example, right? To a Greek, what's more important is how you pronounce a name. In the Hebrew, is what does the name mean is more important than how you pronounce it. So, you know, if you have a name like Fabianic, right, and you co, you know, we came here in 69 and that Europe hadn't taken over Australia yet. Now Chinese are taking over Australia. So I'm learning, I've had to learn this, I'm learning Mandarin at the moment. How you guys learn Mandarin? I tell you what, man, I'm just going, you go, man, I need the gift. And anyway, right? So people can't pronounce the name, but what happens in the philosophy-wise, if I can pronounce the name, if I know how to spell the name, I'm doing well. In the Hebrew language, is what does the name mean? So what happens is this, right? When you talk about it, when they taught how to write something down, when they wrote things down there, they go, did we spell it right? Is the punctuation right? Are the paragraphs right? Is the meaning of the words right? Have we looked up all the meanings of those words? Yes, have we got it done? Yeah, we got it. Great, then I'm smart. Take it back to the way the Hebrews do it. They go, everything you read, you should be able to touch, smell, feel, and experience. So when people go to you, what kind of a church do you go? Well, you know, oh, all of this experience stuff. You know what they're saying? They're telling my religion is based on philosophy. I can quote it. I would rather live it than quote it. I'd rather misinterpret how to pronounce God and feel God than being able to give you the full definition of Scripture. You know, it'll be like, how many of you would rather eat food or read a cookbook? When you're hungry, okay? Okay, if you're really hungry, right? And you're really starving, you're starving, hey, have I got a cookbook for you? What are you feeling like? Man, roast lamb. Okay, that's page 45. Okay, you got page 45. Hey! Wow, okay, you baste the lamb overnight with rosemary, lemon, and garlic, and white wine. Yeah, right, then you buy yourself a wood oven, and you bring it up to 250 degrees, right? And then you put it in, and then you sit down, and you make the potatoes, and you do this. Or would you rather somebody come up to you and go, hey, I've got roast lamb, would you like to come over for dinner? See, one philosophy says, I want my mind educated. The other philosophy says this, I want to be able to understand it, I want to be smell it, I want to feel it, and I want to live it. So when the word was written, it wasn't there to educate your mind. It uses your mind, but it says you've got to have the full experience of how you were created. See, when Jesus made you, he did not say this. He goes, let's create man. Well, I tell you what, let's build something insignificant called a body. Yeah, that's not significant. Yeah. Let's give him a soul. That's quite messy. That's not really important. What we'll do is let's create a spirit. The spirit is it. When God made man, he didn't divide him into sections and says, I love this about you, but not this. It'll be like finding the woman of your life and say, I love your mind. She's not going to be the woman of your life. See, one of the things, so when God says, when he spoke to Adam, he felt it in his body, his mind was educated, his soul was uplifted, his spirit was going, wow, he had the full experience. So when you read the word, it is not just there, hey, I can quote scripture. That is why you can quote until the cows come home, but you need to experience it. You can, so many people understand what it means to be born again, but never ever enjoy the full fruits of being born again. There's one thing to read about non-condemnation, there's another thing to feel non-condemnation. So what when we started to talk, I want you to read, I want you to do that, I want you to memorize, I want you to talk to you when you're getting up, moving there. What he was saying, they were saying, I'm not giving you information, I am telling you what you can experience. So now, let's go back to the children of Israel. God says, you have not experienced any miracles. So what I am going to do for you is I am going to lead you through miracles. Understand this, that when Moses came up, he didn't give him 5 books of the Bible yet. He just said, I want you to follow God through miracles. Because every miracle had a significance to it. So from the snake, from the staff that turned into a snake, to the lamb, God was doing miracles. So what? This is what was supposed to happen to 3 million people was this. Is that we've seen a miracle. Wow, I look at God now differently. You see, what happens is this. Every miracle readjusts your vision so that you look at God differently. What was the first miracle? You got the staff that turns into a snake and the snake. It was this. It was the two religions. It was the priest with the snake that represented power and authority. So all of a sudden, the priest came along and says, hey, let us show you what we can do. This is who you're coming against. What it was a standoff. So you got Pharaoh, his priest, Moses and Aaron, and a stick. And so what they were going to do, you want to fight us? You want to fight me? Fine. All of a sudden, there's a snake. And God says, I'll tell you what. I don't have to fight it. I just eat it. He's one snake swallowed the other snake. What was he saying? He says, your religion is no match for the true God. All of a sudden, what was the teaching in that? Is that when you are faced with opposition, your God is greater than your opposition. So you know what happens? This is, you're good with me? So from now on, God is saying to the children of Israel, whenever you see a snake coming against you, I am greater than your snake. So now longer, when you see a snake, you're not afraid anymore. Before this, you see a snake. Now you see a snake. Oh, here comes lunch. See, what happens is this. Aaron never looked at another snake exactly the same because his vision was readjusted. So, but he's something that's really important now. All the children of Israel were not there. But when they read it, it should do the same as if they were there. Can I help you how to read the Bible today? In the Greek philosophy, how do I read the Bible? I have a concordance. I have a dictionary. I've got my full set of library because I've been to Bible college, and I'm really good. So I'm now reading it. I understand all the words. I can do it in Latin. I can do it in Hebrew. I can do it like that. The way we are to read the word is like this, is if we are a bystander, we are right there. We put ourselves exactly right next to Aaron. We are there. See, one of the things when we start talking about it, because this is a really smart church, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means he's ever present. That means he can put you in the same position where you are there, and God's talking to Aaron, but he's also talking to me. It is, you're not, you are not allowed by God to treat his word as a history book. Because, see, with history, let's be honest. One of the things that I never understood is I used to read books on what happened in World War II to the Jews. I read it before. I've seen movies on it. I did the lot, but nothing prepared me to actually going and feeling what the place was like. You're walking through and you're feeling, and they've got, you're walking through the museum there with Sul and I were there, and then they had, music playing. They had faces. We're there, and they had 6 million photos. And all of a sudden, it's no longer Jacob died. It's this picture. all of a sudden I'm walking through history, and guess what? I'm feeling it in my body. I'm feeling it in my spirit. Suva is looking at me. She goes, Ted, you're struggling. I go, yes, I am. And so we're walking through this. And see, when we read the Bible, God says, you put yourself there. So when you see a miracle, you are there. Because God doesn't do this. I have got this special miracle for AJ. It's got nothing to do with everybody else. But God says this, when I reveal myself to one, I reveal myself to all. So what God was saying, this miracle, the first miracle, is not just for Pharaoh, not just for his high priest, not just for Moses or for Aaron. It's for the whole children of Israel. See, what happened was, is they got their sight adjusted. And then when they talked about it, they adjusted somebody else's eyesight. I've just looked at the time. I need to adjust that time. Hey, worship team, I need you to get up. I've given a lot today. I don't want to give too much because you'll go, I'll choke. But when we start talking with this, is that God says, every time there is a miracle, you readjust where you are and you move up. It's called the promotion. So what God does this, now what I want you to watch this. You good with me? Every miracle sets you up for a future victory. You good? So when God does a miracle, now, we're going to close on this. Just because you have not been there. You know, there are some of you here today that are not used to having money because you were born into a household where money was always an issue. So, you might have been born in a house, right, where your dad is working two jobs, your mum's bringing in cleaning, and you're just struggling. And every day you hear it, oh, how are we going to pay this bill? How are we going to pay this bill? How I don't know. You know, you're looking at your father, because your father works on an hourly rate. And what happens with an hourly rate, you get an hourly rate mentality. You go, there's only 24 hours in a day. I need to eat, I need to sleep, so maybe I can work 16. 16 times 20, I can make $320. But man, I tell you what. So you get there because you have never experienced it. Some of you here were born into houses where education was not important, where no one encouraged you to go to school. So your reality is, wow, school isn't important. Learning is important. It's just get the best job you can, work hard, and get ahead. Some of you were born into a family of sickness, where your whole life was, my father's sick, this is sick, this is sick. You don't know what it's like to be healthy, to have healthy. So that's how you view life. See, if you're struggling with finance, and somebody else comes up, starts talking about finance, guess what? You cannot identify with him. Is this making sense to someone? You know, when you're used to having no money, I remember with my family. My family was always, you've got to work hard, work hard, work hard. We never have enough. You're never this, you're never this. So we always grew up in just get by, just get by. If you want to go ahead, you're going to have to suffer a little bit. You know, and so when I met people, when I met guys at school, right, and you talk about money, they go, well, Ted, what are you talking about? I go, well, man, you know what? I can't afford that car. And the guy comes up in a brand spanking new car. He goes, what happened there? Well, my dad just bought me a brand new BMW. Oh, I hate you. But the thing is, his reality, okay, listen to me carefully. His reality, he was born into a reality. He was born where every time around the meal table, they would talk about what they're going to buy next. Around my table, it was how are we going to pay the next bill? So, okay, now watch this. So you could be like that. But then you know what God says? Maybe you've never experienced the miracle, but there's a miracle in the Word of God. See, if you only believe this, before I believe it, it has to happen to me. Ted, you don't understand the environment. Please understand my heart, because I love you guys to bits. Yeah, you're my family. Familia. See, I used to think, I spent so much of my life thinking, what would have happened if my dad had a university degree, my mom had a university degree? What would have happened is if they were in a family where somebody always gave them a heritage. So we're living in this amazing home, which no one paid, not that they didn't pay for. So everything was all about, wow, in my family, we never talked about holidays, because what holidays meant was after school, we'd have to go and work. My dad would take on extra jobs at holiday time. So when I used to hear people going, man, we're going on holiday, I go, oh. A holiday for us was, how many of you heard of King Lake? Yeah. We used to drive there, get cheap sausages, have sausages and come home. And my dad wanted to do gardening, but never wanted to spend money on gardening. So we used to take rocks from national parks and drive them home. So our house was landscaped from stones we stole. But see, what happens is that you might have been born in that reality, but God says, I come into that reality. And so God says, I want you to readjust how you see your reality through the miracles of the Scripture. So you know what you need to do? 2019, you need to start to own the miracles in the Bible. See, I never understood financial provision until I started to look at the promises of God. All of a sudden, God said He would promise finance. I never did. So you know what you do? You go through Scripture and you go, what are the miracles of financial provision? And you put yourself there, and then you go, I am going to look at God through this miracle. You with me? So now I'm not just reading the miracle. I am looking at Papa through the miracle. I've never experienced healing. Well, you get this healing and you go, God, we'll do that. I've got so much more to you. I've actually just finished the paragraph that I wanted to share with you. Because I no longer want you to think about miracles. 2019, you've got to live them. In 2019, you've got to drive what you're dreaming of. In 2019, you've got to go to that place in Europe or Asia where you only got cards of. You need to start to dream that my family, I am one day, I've never sat in a university graduation class, but with my kids, I got front row. So what you do, this is where we're going as a church in 2019, is I'm looking through 2019 in the promises of God, because God readjusted the disciples' thinking through miracles. And He says this, when you are introduced to a miracle, when you hear a miracle, you are no longer, it is illegal to think outside of that miracle. It is illegal for God. So God says, when I put a miracle in your hand, from now on, it is illegal to think without this miracle. It is illegal to think that, wow, I have no finance. But the Word of God comes into you and says, there are promises. So here's the key. Even though you were brought up in an environment that had no miracles, that had no provision, that had no education, God says, where you came from is not prophetic in where you've been, where you are going. Listen to me carefully. All you really got to do to stay stationary in this here is just read your Bible, pray, attend church, worship, give God a tip, and you'll be okay. You can do that. Because you just, man, you know Scripture? Yeah. Just finished Bible college, man. Do I know Greek? Man, I went into a Greek restaurant and they said, oh, Zeus. Man, I spoke, I gave them the definition of kebabs. They go, But God says, just because you can read it, but God says, you got to feel it. When I'm in the presence of God, I want to feel, I want to cry, I want to shake, I want to do the whole lot. Because I just don't want to read about it, I want to live it. And this is just a forerunner, because what we're going to be doing, we're going to go, hello 2019. And God gave me a word as we were in the front row, Silva was prophesying. I got a word for you for 2019. This is at Psalm 105, verse 37. At last, God freed all the Hebrews from their slavery, and he sent them away laden with silver and gold of Egypt, and not even one was feeble on their way. This is what God said to me. You're not going to come out of 2019 sick. 2018 sick. You're not going to come out broke. We are not going to enter 2019 from 2018 sick, broke, or poor. Oh, I thought it was because the word the Lord gave me, he brought them out of. He took them out of no miracles. It says, I'm taking you out of and putting that into you. So, church, we're in for a ride. But what we're going to pray for today is I'm going to pray, and I'm going to get you to do something really prophetic. Going to stand up in a moment, and you're going to put your hands in your eyes, and you're going to do this. God, adjust my vision. I don't want to see you through lack anymore. I don't want to see myself in lack. I don't want to see that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to find a miracle that applies to me, and I'm going to go, this is how you want me to think. This is how you want me to believe. God, adjust your thinking. I know some of you are in situations that require God to move. I know some of you have got huge needs. But what I'm excited about is that the need will not grow, but my vision of how the need will be met is going to grow today. Because your need is like that snake. It's challenging. He says, you think you can do this? You've never seen a miracle. You've never seen that. You were never this. You were never that. But God says, I tell you what, I wasn't there at the resurrection of Christ physically. But when I read it, I'm there. I'm cheering on. You good? The first time that ever happened to me, I asked God to do this. I read this, the part where Jesus came out. And I said, God, I want to know. And I went into prayer. I don't know if you could call it a vision, but I saw the grave open, and all I remember, I started clapping. I'm in my room. My parents walked in, and I'm just clapping, and I go, what's happening? I'm going, Jesus just rose from the dead. They go, yeah, we know. No, you don't get it. Stone. Oh, wow. We read it. No, you don't get it. I saw it. You see, God is going to take you and bring you into the narrative. God will be there, and you're going to smell it, you're going to taste it, you're going to feel it, and you go, wow. So you cleanse the leper. I'm right there. God says, now when you look at me through this miracle. So now you will no longer see the leper ever the same, nor will you ever see yourself the same, because you were there.